Grace, mercy, and peace be yours in abundance from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for today's message is from Romans chapter 8, verses 18 and 19. For I conclude that our sufferings at the present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is going to be revealed to us. In fact, creation is waiting with eager longing for the sons of God to be revealed. This is a second recording of our sermon for today. The live stream of the service this morning, which we thought would record, didn't record. So if you're comparing this morning what you heard and this recording, it's probably not going to be quite the same. But just so you know, we're going to run this again to make sure we have the video recording. Well, how many of you remember the old-fashioned scales, you know, like those scales that you see out on top of a court of justice, or maybe you've seen them in movies about ancient times, the kind where you had the arm bar that went across the top, and then it was on a point, and then it could balance back and forth, and down below were two kind of like shallow dishes where you could put stuff in and see how they weighed, you know, put the weights on this side, and then you can maybe tell a value or a weight or whatever you needed. What I'd like you to do today, though, is imagine one of those scales, but in the one pan, the one shallow dish, you pile onto it all the hurt and all the heartache and all the pain and troubles of life. Like if you have problems, if you're having problems in your marriage, just pile it on. If you're suffering from a disease or maybe a virus, just pile it on. If you're having trouble with the people around you, you know, you're just getting frustrated, or maybe you just don't have people around you, you're feeling lonely, just pile it on there. All the pain, the heartache, the frustrations, the hurt, the grief, the guilt, just pile it all on. And why? Because as the Apostle Paul tells us today, he's making an amazing claim. He tells us that no matter how great, how heavy our sorrow and our guilt, there is something on the other side that doesn't just balance it out. In fact, as Paul tells us, it far outweighs them all. Listen to what he writes in Romans chapter 8. For I conclude that our sufferings at the present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is going to be revealed in us. See, what God wants us to do today through the Apostle Paul is to climb that mountain of faith and look down upon our lives and get some perspective. Today, he points us to our pain so that he can point us to the paradise that is to come. I mean, if you and I wanted to get together and talk about pain and suffering, we could do that all day and probably then some. But in order to get a good understanding of where the Apostle Paul is coming from, you have to understand who Paul is here. This is this man who says that our present suffering is not worth worrying about. Wasn't some guy who led a charmed life. You know, everything just sort of came naturally to him. No, in his own words, Paul knew what it was like to suffer. He writes, I've done more hard work, been in prisons more often, been whipped far more, and I've been close to death many times. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 time I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I've spent a night and a day on the open sea. I've often been on journeys in danger from rivers, in danger from robbers, in danger from my own people, in danger from the Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the wilderness, in danger on the sea, in danger among false brothers. I've worked hard and struggled. I've spent many sleepless nights. I've been hungry and thirsty. I've gone without food many times. I've been cold and lacked clothing. Yeah, if you want to talk about pain and suffering, Paul could go toe-to-toe with everyone, couldn't he? But even after all of that suffering, none of it really surprised Paul. Because he knew, just as you and I do, that we don't live in a perfect world. In fact, we live in a world that is so fraught with sin that even the perfect creation that God created is suffering from sin. Paul explains, in fact, creation is waiting with eager longing for the sons of God to be revealed. Basically, Paul's saying, if you want to talk about pain and suffering, that's fine, but understand it's not just we people. It is all of God's creation that has to suffer. You remember, God had created that perfect world, but when we brought sin into it, this world fell under the curse too. So whether it's Dutch elm disease or polluted streams or oil spills or holes in the ozone layer, whether it's genetic decay or, yes, viral pandemics, this isn't what God had in mind when he looked at his beautiful creation and saw that it was very good. But that's the way life is now that we live in a perfect world. All of it's been tarnished and corrupted by sin. We will never be free of pain and sorrow here, and neither will the world. I mean, we can't make heaven here on earth, no matter how hard we concentrate on the good and just ignore or deny the bad. We can't save our planet, no matter how ecologically correct we are, how much recycling we do. This planet is doomed because God says so. It's no wonder that Paul, a little bit later in chapter 8, says that all creation is groaning under sin. Now you pile our problems and the world's problems, and you put it all on that little pan of the balance, and it looks really heavy, doesn't it? But God doesn't want us to dwell on that weight, on all of that that we've piled on. God wants us to see the other side of the balance scale. And that's why through the Apostle Paul today, he tells us to consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. In fact, he also wrote to the Corinthians, he said, our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. See, heaven is so glorious. It's so perfect that human words can't even describe heaven in a way that we could possibly comprehend. That's why Paul has to use word pictures to help us understand at least the anticipation for what is to come. Literally in the Greek here, Paul portrays that all of creation is craning its neck, waiting for the unveiling of the children of God. Now, I don't have a neck, so you have to kind of bear with me here a little bit as I describe this, but just picture all of creation, the trees, the rocks, the hills, the valleys, the animals, all craning their necks, eyes wide open, trying to peek around the corner of time so they can catch a glimpse of the eternity to come, so they can see what heaven will be truly like. No more failing bodies. No more natural disasters, no more dead-end jobs, no more pink slips, no more panics, no more crying, no more death. Heaven will be filled with the joy of our Savior, his warming smile, his forgiving love, his perfect presence, his constant strength. In heaven, you and I will finally realize our full potential. We will be the people that God has always intended us to be, the people he has made us to be in Christ, always loving, always caring, always serving, always selfless. And it's not going to be like a temporary pain that we feel now. No, this joy, that perfection will be forever. Again, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. I mean, look at those scales now. They aren't just balanced. No, heaven outweighs all of it. That pan with all our sorrows and our troubles and our pain is no match for the great weight, the sheer mass of the joy that is waiting for us in heaven. Of course, we don't always see it that way, do we? Author John David Mann puts it this way in an illustration. He says, imagine you're standing just outside your home, surrounded by a dense fog, so thick you can't see the other side of the street in front of you. You look to the right, you look to the left, but you cannot see more than 50 feet in any direction. You are surrounded. Now, how much water do you suppose it takes to create a blanket of fog that is completely isolated from the world? It's only a few ounces. The total volume of water in a blanket of fog, 1 acre around and 1 meter deep, would not quite fill an ordinary drinking glass. How is it possible? Well, first the water evaporates, and then that resulting vapor condenses into the minuscule droplets that permeate the air. And in that 1 acre block of fog, one drinking glass's worth of water disperses at some 400 billion tiny droplets suspended in the air, creating an impenetrable cloak that shuts out light and makes it shimmer. This is exactly what happens with certain painful or difficult experiences. As human beings, we're remarkably adaptable. Most of the time, when negative events occur, we're able to learn from them, shrug them off, go on with our lives. The experience simply evaporates, leaving us a bit older and wiser. But not always. Sometimes, especially when we're very young, we have experiences that we cannot shake. Even if they seem insignificant, no more substantial, you might say, than a glass of water. When these upsetting experiences evaporate, they then condense into billions of droplets of anger, of fear, of self-doubt, of guilt, and other negative feelings, surrounding us with a suffocating blanket that suffuses every aspect of our lives for years to come. We call this the fog of distress. Now, even we as believers can let one cupful of sorrow or pain cloud our vision. We let one cupful of trouble blind us to what is to come. And so Paul invites us to climb that mountain of faith, to get that better perspective, to get above the fog, to be able to clearly see beyond the pain the paradise that is to come. Of course, short of being called to our eternal home or Jesus coming again, we can't just stay up on this mountain. We do have to get back to life at some point. But as we descend that mountain and step back into that fog of trouble and heartache, remember that those little patches of fog are just little patches. They can't begin to compare with what is on the other side. Never lose sight of what lies beyond this little patch of fog, the bright and eternal light of life in heaven with God. This is our certain hope. This is what Jesus has guaranteed. This is what brings balance into our lives here on earth, knowing that those heavenly scales are forever weighted undeniably in your favor. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.